another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, that bastion of free speech. It is like a shaft of gold when all around is darkness. And that is a line from Monty Python, and if anybody knows exactly the context of that line, let me know about it. Because it's kind of interesting. Otherwise, you can look it up. A shaft of gold when all around is darkness.
Your Highness, you're also like a stream of bat spit.
What?
What a while. What a while.
It's sodding was not! For sure!
I merely meant, Your Majesty, that you shine out like a shaft of gold when all around is dark.
Oh! That's exactly, in the good sense of the word, that's what RBN is. And keep it going. You can go to republicbroadcasting.org. It's so simple to donate. You can use PayPal, even if you don't have a PayPal account. Or you can call 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Or mail a check or money order or well-concealed cash or loose shekels to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. So the number again, 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. The address, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And then also go to nationalbugle.com. Check out the Koshertified app. There's a link there. You can check it out before you download it. There's an online version. Today is Wednesday, and this is the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick.
Well, thank you for coming on. And so we've always got some different and interesting stuff. And I think today we're going to revisit an issue that you had brought to our attention about a month ago, which is microfinancing. And I know Fascination has looked at it too, but you know, we look at some different sources, and maybe you can bring some different angles to light as well. So why don't you kick it off for us?
Well, you know, in addition to the surge at the border from South America, places like Guatemala, which we highlighted last time, Guatemalans were using microfinance loans to pay coyotes to get into the United States and pay off their loans to save their family farms. We also see a surge at the Mexican border, the U.S.-Mexican border, from Africans. How are the Africans getting from the African continent all the way over to the Southern American border?
Are they swimming? Because we know how good Africans are at swimming. Have you ever seen the Olympics?
Oh, no. Are you using a racist canard there?
Or are they sailing because of the long history of African navigation? And you can actually kind of excuse Africa, because it really doesn't have very many natural ports the way, say, the United States or Europe and East Asia do. But no, so they're not swimming and they're not sailing. So how are they coming?
Well, according to some of the articles that I've pulled up, I mean, they're flying over. How do they afford this? They're living in very primitive conditions in Africa, but yet they seem to make it to the South American places like Brazil and Guatemala, and they come up to our U.S. Southern border. The caravans that we have heard of as of recently have contained many South Americans, or many South American with African indigenous personnel in there. How do they get there? Mm-hmm. Well, they fly over here. How can they afford that is the question that I'm asking.
Would it be discount airlines?
No, I don't believe so. Okay. Somebody's financing this trip, and I think that we can maybe take a little bit of a delve into how that's happening and who's financing it.
Okay. All right. So, and microfinancing, you know, we've heard a lot about it, you know, in the Central American context. But microfinance, I mean, I first heard the term microfinance in, I think, 2006 when what is it, the Grameen or the Grameen Bank, which was a microfinancing bank, I think in Sri Lanka, and it won the Nobel Prize. And so this is something that's been pushed. You can, I just Googled Kenya microfinance, and I see, 100,000 clients of the Equity Bank, then the Kenya Women Microfinance Bank, and I Googled Kenya in particular because I've seen this. I've seen it on the news. So they are pushing microfinance all over the third world. But isn't that just so that they can become entrepreneurs?
Oh, yeah, they want to start small businesses in Africa.
Because they share our values of free market?
Well, they do, yes.
That's what Charlie Kirk
says.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Charlie Kirk is the expert in that. But I wanted to reference an article that I sent you under the NCR. U.S.-Mexican border sees a surge in African migrants who face limited options.
Yeah, and I just wanted one last point, and this isn't as snarky as the others. Over the past few years, I'm sure lots of people have seen photographs here and there of the Mexican border and seen just hundreds and hundreds of Africans. And it's like, what are they doing there? So you're explaining what they're doing there.
Yes. And we'll go through this article and kind of go step by step, and then we'll get into kind of how they're getting there. The article starts out, while most migrants apprehended at the U.S. border are from Central American countries, a growing number of Africans are making their way to the United States via the same routes traditionally used by Central Americans and Mexicans. They're fleeing ethnic cleansing and political volatility in their respective countries. The migrants are escaping Central African nations like Cameroon, mm-hmm. the Democratic Republic of Congo, mm-hmm. and Angola. Mm-hmm.
And these are all countries with large, very large populations and booming populations. I mean, just birth rates that are skyrocketing. So they could flood into this country, but because their population growth is so great as it is, it'll barely make a dent, and so they'll just continue to be crowded, overpopulated countries, even as they're... You've seen that Gumball YouTube, haven't you? Where the guy is...
I don't believe that.
Okay, so if you look up, I guess, world population Gumballs, you'll probably find a YouTube video. And a guy is just using a gumball to represent a million people. And he's just showing migration patterns, but then he's also showing population growth patterns. And so our countries can be completely flooded, and it's really only a drop in the bucket in terms of the population dent it makes in the baby machine that is Africa, and to a lesser extent the Middle East.
Yeah, and our Border Patrol agents are surprised by this. They're used to Spanish-speaking and Aztecians from South America. But quoting the article, this introduction of the new population places additional burdens on processing stations to include language and cultural differences. Mm. And so our agents continue to meet each new challenge as the ongoing humanitarian crisis evolves. It's a humanitarian crisis, Patrick, that these people are coming. Somehow they're magically getting here from Africa and flooding our U.S. southern border.
I also heard 6 months ago or so that there was, they're putting out a bugle call for French translators because Congo and Cameroon are Francophone countries, technically. I mean, French is the, to the extent people are educated, they're going to be educated in French. And then Angola is Portuguese, but a lot of these countries are, French speaking, so they're not even English speaking. So we're importing a lot, would be bringing in a whole bunch of people, and I know they're bringing in a whole bunch of people. And they don't speak our language. They probably don't speak French or Portuguese necessarily all that well either because, mostly they speak their own native Bantu languages. And to the extent they're educated, they're educated in languages that aren't ours.
Yes, but yeah, you're correct that par le vieux français, a lot of these Africans are under the French rule centuries ago when France occupied Africa, and they're coming over, and this is putting our Border Patrol agents in a bit of a pinch. But how are they getting here? Who's paying for this? And I would like to point you to a initiative that Ivanka Trump had put forth. And this was way back in July. This is an article I sent you on Ivanka Trump's initiative to announce $27 million in grants to Africa. She hopes to fund women's entrepreneurial and business investments and starting small businesses. But what's really going on here with this is what I'm asking.
Yeah, she went over to Africa, and that was earlier this year. And so she brought over some money for, and you hear this about the women entrepreneurs that supposedly, you let a woman borrow $50 and then she goes and sets up a stall, like a tomato stall or something, and supports her family. I mean, they're pushing this, but so what you're saying is that, the money that supposedly is going to help women start small businesses, a lot of it just winds up going to somebody who gets them on an airplane across the Atlantic to maybe Brazil or Venezuela, and then they start making their way up the intercontinental highway or transcontinental highway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the African countries are very patriarchal. I mean, if the women do end up getting the grants, get their hands on this money, the microfinance loans, the men could eventually just do what they want with it. And I think that's what we see here.
And we see men immigrating, not so much women, right? I mean, you do see women.
Yeah.
I was in New York not too long ago, and you saw a lot of African women doing the jobs that our people won't do, which was basically sitting on the sidewalk and selling, trinkets, which I guess is, an important industry. So somebody's got to do that work. One more thing. If you're around, say, Times Square area or Grand Central Station, and you walk around, you see a lot of African men holding up signs. They hold up signs, and maybe these are sidewalks where you can't just place a sign, but somebody can stand there and hold a sign. So again, doing the jobs that our American workers can't do, aren't willing to do.
Yeah. The Ivanka plan here was the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative, and it was launched in February. And it had an initial investment of $50 million from the USAID, that is the U.S. Agency for International Development. Once again, Patrick, our tax dollars at work to bring third worlders into America.
Yeah,
that's what I'm reading.
Well, here's the thing. In the context of the American federal budget, $50 million is a drop in the bucket. And so if you break that down by, our population of 300 million, $50 million is just, pennies on the dollar, pennies, 15, 20 cents for each American. So it's not, that's not going to bankrupt us. But how many, $50 million, and even if just only, say, $10 million of that winds up going to airplane tickets. How many Africans can you bring over here for that kind of money? You're talking about, what are you talking about? Tens of thousands, or at least
how many of them? They make it into our country,
uh-huh,
and they live off of our welfare, our food stamps, our school. I mean, that costs. Multiplies.
Yeah, and it's $50 million. Remember, $50 million is just seed money.
Yes,
and it's just the start of things. There's a whole bunch of this is whole infrastructure of nonprofits and non-governmental organizations that get involved. And, you know, the $50 million through this Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative, actually, are they the ones lending out the money? Or is that like an infrastructure, a kind of bureaucratic infrastructure that coordinates the efforts of a myriad of others, you know, financiers and nonprofit organizations and international organizations? So what else you have on this?
Well, the World Bank, of course, is involved in this.
And the World Bank's a big deal, because the World Bank does have very, very deep pockets. And the World Bank is, it's set up to lend money to the Third World. I mean, that's really its mission, to fund infrastructure projects. But, you know, when it was started, those infrastructure, they were thinking of dams and highways and things like that. But nowadays, the World Bank, you know, they're well, let's look at it for a second. So, right now I'm looking at a World Bank document. It's, well, I don't know, dozens and dozens of pages long. And it's on, you know, the surge in microfinancing. And, of course, the World Bank is playing a role in it, showing that over the past, well, during the years from 1997 to 2013... So this 17-year period, 16-year period, the number of microfinance borrowers in the poorest countries, it went from 13 million to 211 million. So there's just this massive explosion of microfinancing. So what are they doing with this?
Well, just like in our small towns and cities here in America, people that could not get access to, like, what you would call normal credit with reasonable rates, you know, they're offering them a chance to borrow money and do bigger and better things, and they're just taking advantage of their poverty. That's what I see on a global scale.
Yeah, I mean, so wasn't it Rahm Emanuel who said, never let a perfectly good crisis go to waste? And
exactly.
And Africa is permanently in crisis.
Yeah, so now we're basically financing the Kangs down in Africa to be sang to the tune of Toto's Africa.
Sounds like there's a song there, right? So, and it's taking off in Africa. You know, you've got more in Asia, the microfinancing, and of course that's where I first started hearing about it, and that's where that Grameen Bank that won the Nobel Prize is located in South Asia. But yeah, this is a big thing. It's all over the Third World, and
what better way to pay back those loans than to get over to South America and up into the United States, where you can get jobs that pay $15, $18, $20 an hour for unskilled labor.
Mm-hmm.
Pay those loans off real fast.
And so the thing is, if you've lived in this country for decades, and you've gone around in various places. So once upon a time, the place you lived in, you hardly saw any foreigners. And then you started seeing a few, but it wasn't a concern. And then all of a sudden, you start realizing, wait a minute. And especially if you move around. And if you move around and you go to a place that it was ahead of you in terms of being inundated by foreigners. And sometimes I'll go to the New Jersey, just the suburbs of New Jersey near New York. And, you know, a dozen years ago or so, I'd go and I'd be amazed at all the Koreans and the Hispanics. But lately I go and I'm amazed at all the Ghanans and Africans. But other parts of America, you're not seeing a lot of Africans yet, right? I mean, and Hispanics, originally you'd see them in California and Texas, but you wouldn't see them in South Carolina. Well, now you do. Okay, we're up at the break. We'll be right back.
I hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Welcome back to the show. So we're continuing a discussion on this link between microfinance and mega finance, which is behind the microfinance, and the immigration. So what is responsibility?
Responsibility. Well, sent you an article on responsibility closes USD 175 million microfinance securitization. Mm. So there's a global initiative to microfinance these third world small businesses, and the article I sent you was from Zurich.
Mm.
Switzerland?
Zurich, yeah. Switzerland, the banking capital of Switzerland. Switzerland's a big banking center.
Responsibility Investments AG, the international impact asset manager, has today closed a USD 175 million securitization of loans to microfinance and SME finance institutions in emerging markets. The proceeds will be used to fund financial intermediaries providing capital to 30,000 small businesses and 5.6 million microfinance borrowers. 81% of the borrowers are women. That sounds like it falls under the Ivanka Trump plan.
It does. And you wonder, they're women. Maybe women are being favored in the lending. Do they wind up being the ones who use the money? I think that's a question. What is this securitization all about? So, first of all, responsibility, it looks like responsibility when it's all in caps, but when they're writing it in regular text. It's the A that is capitalized, the response ability, because you're enabling people. It's ability, response ability. The R is small and the A is big. It's part of this weird capitalization fad that's going on. At any rate, what does this do? This makes it possible for Wall Street, for the financial markets, to flood money into this industry. Because, you know, if you're talking about just loans, so that's, I mean, small loans, does J.P. Morgan want to purchase some random African's loan? You know, maybe there's, like I said from the World Bank paper, that there's now, what, 100-something million borrowers. So, you know, and they're very small borrowers. So if you are an investor and you want to get in on this, and why wouldn't you want to get in on this? Because, you know, you've got these government-backed initiatives that are pouring money into it. So, you know, there's certainly money to be made. There's money going into it, whether or not these loans get repaid. There's money that's going into this. So if you want to get into it, well, but you don't know who, like, Muhammad Akbar is in Somalia or wherever. So how do you get into it? So the way the securitization goes is you'll lump together maybe tens of thousands of these loans, and those loans get transferred to some sort of shell company, some sort of paper company. And the paper company then takes possession of, you know, of a statistically large set of loans, where, you know, you don't know which individual loan is going to get paid back and which is going to be defaulted on, but you might have a pretty reasonable idea from past experience that 25% of the loans will be defaulted on, but 75% will be paid back. So you've got a more or less known quantity, and of course you know that they're, even if 25% are being defaulted on, the ones that are getting paid back are getting paid back at, what are the rates of interest? Sometimes they're 100%, 120% annual rate. So there's money there, and by this, so the way the securitization works is you bundle together huge amounts, large amounts of loans into paper companies, and then the paper companies issue shares of stock, and then so when people buy a share of stock, it's not as if they have to figure out which individuals are loans are involved in it. You've got a very large number, and so the statistically you can work out the risks. And so this is bringing in these major financial firms. And, you know, one name that jumps out is J.P. Morgan's corporate and investment bank. And so they're involved in this. And then you've got Alecta, which is not a common name in America, but it is a huge pension fund manager in Sweden. So Sweden, oh, the Swedes, they are very, they're trying to be humanitarian superpower, right? So you've got the Swedish pension funds getting wrapped up in the promotion of basically African emigration into Sweden. It's another way. Calvert Capital. So there are big money groups that are getting into this. And using sophisticated securitization. I mean, securitization, this is, if you remember the subprime loan crisis, securitization was the method by which these faulty loans were being sold to investors and pension funds and whatnot back in the aughts. I'm sure you remember that.
Yes. So they're securing land, they're securing people, they're securing an invasion. The bottom line here is they're securing an invasion into white countries.
Exactly. Okay, we are up at the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, so microfinancing and the Wall Streetization of it, the big financial firms getting involved, and you know, one might ask, what's in it for the big firms, and really, what's the motivation here? What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, obviously, they want to invade, you know, America and Europe with these third orders. But what's the motivation? What do they get out of it? Just the displacement of white Europeans? What's the angle? You know, I've heard it said that they just want more brown people to consume next product, to get cell phones and Amazon and you know, Netflix accounts. But there's got to be more to it than that.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at say China and India, which have different demographics from Africa, I mean, in terms of economic potential. But China and India consume lots of product over there without coming here. Now, people who come here tend to perhaps consume more. But and some people emphasize the Chamber of Commerce aspect of this. And I think, you know, that's, some people emphasize that. Other people, like on Tucker's show, he's always talking about, well, the Democratic Party just wants to import voters. Some people say, well, the Chamber of Commerce just wants to import consumers. And I find both of those lacking. And, you know, if the Chamber of Commerce was really running things, and, you know, they just wanted to depress wages, for instance, if they just wanted to depress wages by having, you know, flooding the labor market, bringing in a lot of laborers, well, if they wanted an oversupply of labor, wouldn't they put down their foot to the opioid crisis, which is taking so much labor out of the labor market and, you know, putting it on disability, right? You know, there's a lot of things, or you know, homosexuality, for instance. Why wouldn't they, the Chamber of Commerce, why would they be promoting, or I mean, I'm sorry, why would not they be opposing all of these measures that are depressing our birth rate? But, you know, they're not opposing measures that depress our birth rate. They're not opposing measures that degrade our workforce with, you know, opium and opiates and bad nutrition. You know, if we had better health and we had better reproduction, they would have their supply of labor, right? By knocking people out of the workforce or reducing our own population, our own reproduction, that would tend to drive up the cost of labor, right? And so, right, if we don't see them jumping in there, why should we suppose that they are the people behind bringing in immigrants? When we know there's this other particular group, maybe you know where I'm going, that have an interest. I mean, if you accept that this one particular tribal group doesn't feel comfortable to have a country, you know, or have countries, white countries, that potentially could become Nazis, that potentially could challenge the tribal domination of the economy and the politics of these countries, through, say, you know, nationalists, through an ethnic-based nationalism, and want to make sure it'll never happen again. Well, they would want to reduce the birth rate. They would want to degrade the stock. They would want people to be less and less healthy, and they would want to bring in more people. It's everything that you're seeing going on now is consistent with you know, that tribal power. It's not all consistent with business power. It's from the point of view of business, it's very mixed. That's my takeaway. What do you think? Am I just being paranoid? Am I just being anti-Semitic? Because I don't have ill will towards anybody. I don't have ill will towards this tribe. But I think we need to be honest about what's going on and not make up excuses that are pointing in the wrong direction. That's the way I look at it.
Well, go ahead. Are you saying that they want to decrease the white population to stop a nationalist uprising against their global power?
Well, they've said it. I mean, you can find, and David Duke is, this is one of his fortes because he's got a good memory for these things. But you can find you know, all sorts of writings in Jewish academic journals and you know, like commentary places like that, that are talking about the risk of you know, right wing populism or nationalism, and immigration is being a priority in order to prevent the possibility of you know, right wing populism or white ethnic based nationalism. And of course, you see all of the people running around with their hair on fire, particularly echoey people running around with their hair on fire because of white supremacy and white nationalism, right?
Well, yeah, they've actually made President Trump a avatar for this. He seems to have awoken a sense of nationalism amongst the white working class, whether they're, you know, cognizant of it or not. And this is why they want to destroy him, even though he's not given us everything that we want. He seems to have capitulated to the Jewish global elite. But still, they want to destroy him because he has awakened this populace.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me, and I'm not, you know, I don't want people, it's not just that I don't want people to go out and do violence against synagogues or whatnot. I don't want people to have personal animosity towards Jews. I do want people to be honest about what's going on, and if we have an honest understanding about what's going on, then we're much better, in a much better position to do something about it. And I don't think it is, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, that's leading all of these policies. I don't think it's the Chamber of Commerce that's pushing the ADL into issuing all these papers on white nationalist hate symbols and things like that. It's the other way around. And to the extent you've got Google, or Google, for instance, with YouTube and all the deplatforming, is it because they're trying to protect their business interests because they're trying to make more money? Is that why they're trying to deplatform us? Or is it because of the ethnic interest? That's the question.
Well, they're absolutely not making more money because the popular sentiment, the way they would, if they wanted to make more money, they would appeal to this popular sentiment of nationalism. And that's what the people want. But they seem to be willing to take a loss on their money, take a loss on their, the best way to make money on this, in order to suppress the national sentiment.
Mm-hmm. So with this microfinancing, I haven't done as deep a dive into this as a lot of other people. And you look at these names that are involved, and J.P. Morgan is the highest profile name, and J.P. Morgan, their leader is Jamie Dimon, and Jamie Dimon is nominally of Greek ancestry, but he is from Thessalonica, his family's from Thessalonica, which was a Jewish stronghold 100 years ago. It was about 40% Jewish. He may be of, a crypto Jew, or maybe he's not. I don't know. But so you wonder, well, what's J.P. Morgan getting out of it? Are they, like Google, willing to take a haircut on this aspect of their business, just as Google is willing not to make money with YouTube in order to advance tribal interest? Is J.P. Morgan willing to lose money on microfinancing because they've got deep enough pockets, but it promotes their, an ethnic interest? Or is it that there's enough guarantees out there from the USAID, from these, or Swedish governmental organizations? Is there enough public sector money out there that there's money to be made? And I'm not in the position to say how much it is of one and how much of it is it of the other. But I think there's probably both aspects of it. There's probably a fair amount of money to be made, and with all the public sector involvement, including World Bank involvement, the risks are probably not too great. And so there's probably, some money to be made. And then maybe they're willing to take on more risk because they've got the deep pockets, and it's all for a good cause, Goy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's how it seems to me. Sometimes I feel that, if people want to look at things, well, I know there's obviously a lot of people want to know exactly what's going on, and sometimes there's a reluctance to say, well, we don't know exactly what's going on, but it's probably, this or some combination of this and that. But this is a big deal, and you're just underscoring getting back to the beginning, because this is being linked to the immigration, and immigration is multi-pronged. It's a multi-pronged strategy, and one thing about getting under our current system, we are underpopulated with Africans. We are underpopulated with Congolese. We don't have enough Congolese here, and you got to get people from and how many Angolans do we have here? We don't have enough Angolans, and if you don't get some Angolans here, even as illegal aliens, who can later then be amnestied, once they're amnestied, then they can start the chain migration. You got to get these seeds here in order to have chain migration, and chain migration is so much more effective with African countries than it is with South American countries, because the South American countries, the birth rate in South America has really plummeted. I mean, it's still higher than ours, but it's plummeted, and the African population is huge, and so you get one person from a village in Africa, well, that village, they're probably you know, a big hunk of the people in that village are first cousins or uncles or aunts, nephews and nieces of this person. They can be brought over, and then once you go one more degree, the first cousin of the first cousin, you've got the whole village over here. So, are you seeing, you know, in various parts of the country, you know, it's not just Africans, it can be people from Nepal or Bhutan or just, you know, obscure countries here and there. In your neck of the woods, I'm sure you see various Hispanics who may be Mexican or Central American or even South American. Are you seeing any other groups that you didn't used to see?
Mostly, other than Hispanics, it's the Somalian Muslims that were brought here, and they were brought under Catholic Charities. And they work in this particular chicken plant in my small town in West Kentucky. That's what we're seeing here. You know, we don't see a lot of the any of the other African countries, but the Somalians are bigly represented here, thanks to Catholic Charities. You would think the Catholics would cater to other Catholics, maybe in South America, but no, they're importing Muslims in here. We actually did a deep dive into this several months ago, into how religious charities import third worlders from Africa, often Muslims, into American small towns.
Has the Pope said that Muslims are the real Catholics? Has he made that proclamation yet?
I'm sure that's coming, because he's made many heretical proclamations. I'm not Catholic, but you know, the Pope, this current Pope, is just like, dude, he's gone. He's total global homo. And you know, Catholic Charities, you know, they make money off of these African Muslims coming here.
I think George from Greece referred to the new Pope as the Jewish Pope, and I don't think he meant that he was literally of Jewish ancestry. But it is kind of weird, you know. You had the pedophile scandal, the pedophile priest scandal, which A, is nothing new, and B, compared to rabbis, I mean, you know, so but the, you know, the it was, frankly, the media, very echoey media, that pushed this and used it as leverage to get rid of the old Pope, who I'm sure had all of his own problems. But it's just odd that, you know, the first time in 600 years you have a Pope just resign, and then you bring in this kind of, what do you call it, cultural Marxist Pope? The whole thing is bizarre. It's like a takeover of the Catholic Church. Should we be surprised?
No, not at all. It's all pulling toward this ecumenical system of global homo. We accept all lifestyles, all religions, all creeds, and that's what the Catholic Church is now. And it's a shame, you know, because hundreds of years ago they drove the Muslims out of Southern Europe, and now they're accepting and kissing the feet of Muslims. The current Pope kissed the feet of black Muslims, and that to the enemy is a sign of conquest.
To Muslims especially, I mean, they got a thing about feet. Remember that particularly based Iraqi guy who winged his shoe at at George Bush, who had very good evasive techniques. I will say his you know, bob and weave was very superior. That was the most impressive moment of his presidency, frankly, as far as I was concerned. Okay, hey, we only have a few minutes left. We've got a couple minutes in this segment, and there is news. There's a couple of pieces of news from the campaign trail. We've got Bloomberg in, we've got Kabbalah out. Where do you want to start?
Well, I was thinking that Bloomberg entered the race to eliminate Joe Biden, because Bloomberg is presenting white, we know he's of the tribe, but he's presenting white upper class, you know, Wall Street. And the idea was that he was going to take votes away from Joe Biden. He was going to take the upper.
And of course, he said we need an awful lot more immigrants, right?
He said that. I mean, any Jew would say that. But I mean, my thing is this: I thought that Bloomberg was coming into the race to take out Joe Biden, but I did get on the Rush Limbaugh show last week to try to present this question to him, and Rush corrected me and said, no, Bloomberg is here to take away votes from Kamala. From Pocahontas.
Okay, hey, we got to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
We are back, and you said Rush told you that Bloomberg is in the race to take votes away from Pocahontas.
It didn't make sense, because Rush's whole reasoning was, well, Pocahontas is out of favor with the Wall Street crowd, and she's not going to get those votes. But, I mean, that doesn't make sense, because if Pocahontas is not going to get the Wall Street votes anyway, how can Bloomberg take away the votes
that she's not going to get
in the first place? Right.
Right.
So that didn't make sense. I think Rush had a boomer moment Pardon me.
I don't mind.
No,
after watching all these Joe Biden clips, there's Joe Biden's actually not a boomer. He's older than a boomer. I'm distancing myself from him. Yeah, he's kind of the unknown generation, whatever they were called in between.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, Russia's whole argument was, Elizabeth Warren is not going to get the Wall Street support anyway. But I'm like, okay, well, how is Bloomberg hurting her then? If she's not getting, like, Bloomberg supposedly would get all of the upper white working class, you know, votes, the Wall Street votes.
The NPR people?
NPR people. If Warren's not going to get those votes to begin with, he's not hurting her.
How about Buttigieg? Buttigieg is a flavor of the month. Do you think anybody wants to take out Buttigieg? Because Buttigieg would never win. Bloomberg, maybe. So what do you think of that?
Buck Gig is not going to get the black vote.
Sure not.
He's just not a contender. He's just not. It's going to be between Biden and Warren. And once again, like, Bloomberg is going to get all of the Wall Street vote. He's going to get the moderate Democrat vote. And that's only going to be subtracting from Joe Biden. I don't see how it's subtracting from Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, Rush is claiming now that Elizabeth Warren is out of the race. She's done. Well, I mean, Biden's not going to make it to the finish line.
Yeah.
He's talking about, like, white hairs on his legs and how blacks look.
Biden's not going to make it to the starting line. I've been saying this over and over, and I still stick with it. I don't think he's going to win a single delegate, and I don't think he's going to last past Iowa.
I'm going to go against Rush on this one, and Bloomberg is in the race to take upper Wall Street, rich, white, working class votes from Joe Biden.
And I think that's going to happen. I think you're right on that. And I think we're going to see either Cory Booker or Amy Klobuchar be a flavor of the month. I don't think they're going to go very far, but one or the other, I bet, is going to be a flavor of the month. Tulsi is going to go farther than anybody thought. Obviously, there would be as much never Tulsi as there was never Trump from within her party, and she doesn't have the deep pockets to overcome that. But she does have other assets. So we'll see. But it's going to be interesting. Okay, well, we're just winding up. Do you have anything else for us before we sign off?
No, I believe that's it. Microfinance from Africa to South America. Finance the kings. And, the global profit for our displacement, for the displacement of white people in America.
Okay. Well, thank you again. We'll look forward to you coming back next week. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.